As I learn to forget your face, the scent of your skin lingering like a shadow on a memory, and no strangers we meet. Is it you, my highest love, my highest love, my highest love? Will we recall my highest love, my highest love, my highest love? Oh, oh, I say.
Good Sunday morning, everyone. It is 9 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. and you're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, October the 8th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sport, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. Love to get you involved in some sports conversation. To do that, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Just about anything and everything is fair game as far as the world of sports is concerned. Certainly love to hear your perspective on what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. That phone number again, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back. Okay, here we are back again, 12 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. Let's get right into the scores. In the National League Division playoffs, the Nationals 6 and the Cubs 3. That series is tied at one game apiece. The Dodgers 8 and the Diamondbacks 5. And the Dodgers lead that series 2 games to 0. Over in the American League, no games played yesterday, but today the Red Sox go up against the Astros at home, and the Astros are one game away from winning it all. And also the same situation with the Cleveland at New York. Cleveland is leading that series 2 games to 0. Doug Fister is on the mound for the Red Sox today, and I'm assuming everyone is going to be on a short leash. Hey, there's no tomorrow if we lose. So therefore, I'm assuming just about anybody and everybody could be back out there again today. Would not be surprised since Drew Pomeranz only went 2 innings on Friday that he could be back out there again if Fister fizzles. And hopefully they'll get it to Chris Sale, who could probably then go on a short day's rest in game 4. And then it could be open to Purcello or who knows who. And the way David Price has been pitching, you might be able to get two innings out of him as well. The problem with the Red Sox, same thing at the end of the season in the playoffs last year. Hitting is just not there. And so therefore, Dave Dombrowski is going to have to look into his magic bag and see what he can pull out during the offseason. The fact that Nunez went down with a knee injury certainly did not help. And, we got yeoman work, I think, out of Rafael Devers when he came up with, you know, very little minor league experience, especially at the AAA level, and came in and did, to me, an excellent job. I can't understand, but, you know, this is the this is the Boston media press, New England media press. And if you don't play like Ted Williams and David Ortiz and all the other greats of the Red Sox past, they're going to find some fault with you. So, hey, let it go. Ignore them and move on. Been a very good year, all things considered. And like I said, we need to get a bat in the middle of that lineup, consistent hitter. Maybe not a power hitter, but if he's hit for power as well, that wouldn't hurt. And the fall off with, not only did we lose David Ortiz as a big bat, but the fall off from Hanley Ramirez certainly didn't help. And Mitch Moreland did, I think, a fairly decent job. He had a Mitch Moreland type year. And to think he was going to do more than that, I think was, you know, asking a little bit too much, or hoping a little bit too much. So anyway, we'll see what happens, today. Not over till it's over. Another thing we have to consider is the injury to Mookie Betts' wrist. Farrell said that when he's not hitting well, he takes a whole lot of batting practice, and that can't help. And during the off season, he loves to bowl. He's a championship-type bowler, and so that can't help either. So we'll just have to hope that he doesn't have any regression and has a solid off season. Hopefully won't need surgery, and he'll be back to have a Mookie Betts type year. Same thing with Xander Bogaerts. To me, a lot of times they've been pitching him outside and low, and so a lot of times he's been reaching out almost one-handedly to hit the ball outside and low, and he's driven the ball to right field, right center field, and, you know, has come up with some good hits. The question is that what you want him doing all the time? You know, he can, you know, crush the inside pitch when he gets it, and in Fenway Park, he should have plenty of opportunity to pound that wall, but, so far, his average has been below what you would like to see. Then there's Dustin Pedroia. The question is, how damaged is his knee, and is he going to have to be managed as he goes along? Probably, you know, and that won't hurt him that much, provided he can stay healthy when he's in there, based upon the rest that he's getting. When he's in there and healthy, he was one of the leading hitters on the team, close to 300 for most of the year. But, you know, hey, if your wheels aren't there, and as hard as he plays, you know, we have to monitor his condition, I think, as he goes along. 418 here on WMFO. Excuse me. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91. Where did my voice go? Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 FM on your dial on the internet, WMFO.org, multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, October the 8th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back. Mm-hmm.
just a kid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know
about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Cause mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
And also by your friends here at Sounds of Praise and a Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:22 is the Brown Perspective on Sports. Time, my host Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. I'd love to get you involved in the sports conversation. To do that, just give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Okay, let's go to college football. Okay? All right. On Thursday, we had an upset. Number 24-ranked North Carolina State defeated number 17 Louisville 39-25. And yesterday, Alabama 27, Texas A&M 19, Clemson 28, Wake Forest 14. Upset. Unranked Iowa State defeated number 3 Oklahoma 38-31. Penn State 31, Northwestern 7, Georgia 45, Vanderbilt 14, Washington 38, California 7. Upset. Unranked Michigan State defeated Michigan, who was ranked number 7, 14-10. TCU 31, West Virginia 24, Wisconsin 38, Nebraska 17, Ohio State 62, Maryland 14, Washington State 33, Oregon 10, Auburn 44, Mississippi 23. Miami 24, Florida State 20, USC 38, Oregon State 10, Virginia Tech 23, BC 10, San Diego State 41, UNLV 10, upset, unranked Stanford defeated number 20, Utah 23-20, Notre Dame 32, North Carolina 10, Upset. Unranked LSU defeated Florida, ranked number 21, 17-16. And UCF, 51, Cincinnati, 23. Well, I guess it looks like Alabama is going to hold on to their top spot for another week. Clemson should be right there behind them. But Oklahoma's loss will probably allow Penn State to move up to number 3, Georgia to number 4, perhaps Washington to number 5, and Oklahoma could probably fall to 6. Michigan, who lost at number 7, they're probably going to drop. TCU will probably fall ahead of them. So we'll see what happens as far as the college rankings are concerned. As I've said before in previous programs, I like to watch college football. But there are so many teams, so many games, so many other things going on in my life. I don't get to watch a whole lot of games. I'll watch a game here and there based upon my Saturday schedule. So I can't really determine. What I've seen thus far is that, to me, Alabama can be taken. Maybe Clemson is the best team in the country, but we'll have to wait and see if they get a chance to bump heads against each other or somebody else comes along and bumps them off. We'll see. But that's just what my limited exposure to college football has come up with thus far. Okay, 426 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. On this, the Sunday, October the 8th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 until 5 a.m. to get involved in the sports conversation. You just have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Be back.
Superhero training camp. I see some new faces out there. You and the red cape. State your mission.
I'm a beetle buster, sir. I protect America's trees from the Asian longhorn beetle, an invasive insect that's killing the trees in our state.
Do you leap tall trees in a single bound? Stop speeding beetles with your bare hands?
No, sir. I look for the Asian longhorn beetle. It's shiny black with white spots and about 1.5 inches in length with black and white striped antennae that are as long as its body or longer. If I spot it, I report it at beetlebusters.info.
And what's so superhuman about that?
I am protecting our woods, parks, and neighborhoods for future generations, sir.
Then let's go bust some beetles.
You can be a beetle buster, too. Look for the Asian longhorn beetle. If you spot it, report it at beetlebusters.info. For pictures, text the word bug to 39044. Standard text message rates apply. A message from the USDA.
And also by your friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry and the Brown Perspective on Sports. 4:31 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, just have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. National Hockey League. First week I get a chance to give you some National Hockey League scores. New Jersey 4, Avalanche 1, the Maple Leafs 8, the Rangers 5, the Red Wings 2, and the Senators 1, the Panthers 5, and the Lightning 4, Islanders 6, and the Sabres 3, Penguins 4, and the Predators zip, Capitals 6, and the Canadiens 1, Hurricanes 5, and the Wild 4. The Blues 4 and the Stars 2. The Blackhawks 5 and the Blue Jackets 1. The Golden Knights 2 and the Coyotes 1. The Flames 6 and the Jets 3. The Canucks 3 and the Oilers 2. The Flyers 3 and the Ducks 2. That game went overtime. And the Kings 4 and the Sharks 1. Bruins didn't play, but they won their first game, and some of the young new kids on the block who had, major impact upon that game. And so hopefully, if they can keep it up, they'll, add a little more excitement to our winter sports season here in the greater Boston area. A lot of hockey fans here. And thus far, I wouldn't say thus far, but then, since our last championship, we have not done that well. So we'll just have to hope that things pick up this year with a lot of new kids, a lot of new faces, new coach in his first year. And hopefully we're heading in the right direction. It's 4:33 here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, October the 8th, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. It is 71 degrees outside our studio. Sometime around 6:30 on the Sounds of Praise Ministry, we'll be giving you that weather update, so you stay tuned for that, so you know how to dress and what's going on here in the New England area for the immediate future. Well, we'll give you updates, projected weather based upon what latest information we have. That will take you all the way up to maybe Wednesday of this coming week. 4:34 is the WMFO, Brown Perspective on Sports time. Let's move right along. Congratulations are in order for the WNBA champion Minnesota Lynx. Won their, third championship, I think, in 5 years. And so, there you go. Congratulations to all you young ladies out there. 4:34 is the Brown Perspective on Sports time. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m., like I said, to get involved in the sports conversation, you just have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back. We'll be right back.
Most people associate sickness with old age. So getting sick was very hard for me. It's hard for any young person.
At the age of 39, a kidney transplant saved Derek's life.
After my kidneys started to fail, you know, I couldn't even play basketball with my son, throw the football with him, you know, just no energy. My mother, you know, had the same kidney disease, and it was hard for my kids to lose their grandmother to the same disease that they knew their father had.
35% of patients waiting for kidney transplants are African American.
Since I had a transplant now, I can walk my dog, I can shoot basketball. There's so many things I can do. I can go to the park with my family. We lost a lot of time. I hope that I can make that time up and get a chance to live again.
You have the power to donate life. Be an organ, eye, and tissue donor. To find out how, go today to donatelife.net.
And the message is brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry and the Brown Perspective on Sport. 4:39 is the Brown Perspective on Sport. Time with Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. to get involved in the sports conversation. Just have to give me a call, 1-855-915-9636, 1-855-915-WMFO. Let's go to the NBA. NBA is still in their preseason, and as you know, I don't put a whole lot of stock in preseason NBA games, preseason National Hockey League games, preseason NFL football games, preseason or spring training, whatever you want to call it, baseball games, because the teams are trying to figure out who they've got, how they can use, who's been improved, who can they've added, you know, and trying to get the best combinations in place for their rotation and everything else as the season goes on. So there's so many things going on, so many moving parts going on. I don't usually pay a whole lot of attention, but, and so therefore, I'm not going to give you the scores because, like I said, they don't mean that much to me. But, being a diehard Celtics fan, I've had to look at the Celtics as much as I possibly could during this preseason because it's just so many new faces. Only four players back from the team that won the Eastern Division. Not championship, but had the best record in the Eastern Division last year. And all these key players have departed, been shown the door, or whatever you want to say. And we got a whole bunch of new faces. Like I said in the earlier program, Kyrie Irving is probably one of the top five. I don't know. I don't really know if he's a point guard or a shooting guard, but one of the top five guards in the NBA. That's my opinion. How much of that was based upon the fact that he was playing with, you know, one of the best players, not the best player in the league, in LeBron James. You know, there were the Kevin Durant fans out there who will say that, you know, Kevin is the, and then there are even the Stephen Curry fans out there who will say he's the best player. But he's up in there. Okay? So picking him up was certainly a big addition, a sound business move for the Celtics. Isaiah Thomas has a fantastic year, scored more points than Kyrie Irving did. But at 5 inches shorter, you know, Kyrie Irving should, and what, 2 or 3 years younger, Kyrie Irving should more than offset the loss of Isaiah Thomas. Plus, Thomas is coming back from the hip injury, which even before the trade, I was suspect. I mean, why isn't he, you know, getting surgery? You know, get the thing up and out of the way. You're looking for a max contract. You want to have a max body, I think, to go along with the max contract. And would he have been given the max contract? I think it would depend upon what he did this year. Could he come back and duplicate, come close to doing what he did last year? And you got to give the guy credit. You know, he played under such adverse circumstances, not just talking about his height, but the fact that he lost his sister in an automobile accident during the playoffs, and he still hung in there and did the best that he could under the circumstances. Hey, I mean, he, as he said, he took it really hard because he said he not only thanked the Celtics for giving him opportunity to play where he'd been buried on the other other coaching systems. And he fell in love with the area and with the fans and everything else, his fellow teammates. And then we lost probably our best defensive player, certainly on the wing, Jay Crowder. And before that, we lost Avery Bradley in the trade to Detroit. So, yeah, hey, there was a lot for me to look at and say, well, let me see what's going on. Okay, Celtics are 2-0 in their preseason, playing Charlotte and Philadelphia. Charlotte at home and Philadelphia away. And to me, now, like I said, I've been following the Celtics even before the Russell Cousy era began. Going back to what? 1955 or 1956. When I really started following the Celtics. Timmy, taking into consideration this is preseason and they're playing, you know, against some of the other teams, scrubs who are probably not even going to make the club, the various clubs. But to me, they look like they are the deepest, most athletic team in Celtics history. Now, that's just, you know, off the top of my head, as I can remember going back to the championship clubs, you know, that they were good. But this team is so deep and so athletic. I've got to take notice. Celtics' problem last year was rebounding, especially defensively. And, oh, I won't say defensively as well as offensively. They weren't getting many second-chance points on offensive rebounds. Now that seems to have been remedied to some degree. Rebounding both offensively and defensively seem to have improved. Aaron Baines, who I never heard of. Playing in Detroit, the second string center, appears to be able to give them more inside offense, the most inside offense, I should say, since the days of Parrish and McHale. He's in the same type of player, but he gets that short mid-range jumper and he kills it, at least so far in the preseason. I gotta give you the thing, it's preseason. And he gives them the toughness that they needed on the inside that they haven't had since Kendrick Perkins, to the best of my recall. So this is going to be a power. Theis, who we got, who we signed from overseas, Germany, I believe. He looks like he is going to be a contributor off the bench as well, both offensively and defensively. Marcus Smart, tough defense, lost about 20, 25 pounds, and is hitting the outside jump shot, playing tough defense like he normally does. And so maybe to some degree that will offset the loss of Avery Bradley. Will he be able to score as many points as Bradley does? It depends on how they play him. Right now, he's coming off the bench. Bradley was a starter, which automatically gave him opportunities to score more because he played more. They won their first two games, and Gordon Hayward, who was brought in for his shooting, he's not going to be as tough a defender as Jay Crowder was, but looking to score 8 to 10 points more a game than Crowder. So far, he's been sort of tentative as far as his shooting is concerned. We know he can shoot. He hasn't forgot how to shoot. So once he gets, I think he's been, you know, trying to feel his way along with so many new players out there. but we know he's going to be able to contribute offensively, and it doesn't look like he's going to be a total waste as far as defense is concerned, just because of the fact that Brad Stevens coaches a team-oriented defense. And they've been doing all this without Marcus Morris, who was brought in to be a tough guy off the bench, a power forward, who will score, 14, 15 points a game. This team is just, to me, I'm saying in the earlier programs, with all the trades were going down and everything else, there's so many new players, so many young players, that it's probably going to take them until the All-Star game to really get everybody on the same page. But it looks to me like they're moving that direction. Tatum looks like he's going to be, I can't even tell you who I can compare him with. He's, to me, maybe a young Kevin Garnett without the chippiness yet. Offensively, defensively, blocking shots, running the floor, hitting the mid-range jumper, hitting three-pointers occasionally, passing the ball, blocking shots. I think that right now, at this point, he is going to be a bigger contributor in his rookie year than Jaylen Brown was in his rookie year. And Jaylen Brown is sort of like, you know, just he's seems to be content to be the garbage man type person and play the either the top shooting guard on the other team or the top small forward on the other team defensively. Hey, they even had Hayward in the backcourt, I think, in the first game. Kyrie Irving, like I said he wanted to get out of the shadow of LeBron James, and maybe that sounded kind of selfish, but to me, he's been the consummate team player, not only getting his point, but also sharing the ball, playing tough defense as well. I'm just drooling. let me go back to Jason Tatum. I say, I don't know, based upon playing time, right now, I say he'd be a candidate for Rookie of the Year. In that Philly game, and in Philadelphia, and they were playing without Embiid and without Markel Fultz. Philly was shooting lights out. Jared Bayless was just unbelievable. They were throwing shots in from downtown Philadelphia. but didn't faze whoever was on the court. They did not get fazed. And they came back and, I won't say blew them out, but after having a big lead and losing it and then coming back without having your top players, although, you know, Kyrie Irving was in there with a lot of the players who were probably going to be off the bench. And they won the game handily. So I am drooling, like I said. We're going to have to wait and see how much improved they're going to be in the early part of the season. If they have problems in the early part of the season, like I said, that could keep them from being as good a team as they were last year. But here again, like I said, they with their up-tempo offense and improved defense, especially rebounding, improving defense, especially rebounding, they could run some teams off the court, and I would not be surprised if that takes place. Okay, 4:52 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial. On the internet, WMFO.org, multicasting on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. You can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5FM.org. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, October the 8th, 2017 edition of a Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. to get involved in that sports conversation. We got about 7 minutes more. You have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Be back. We'll be right back. Okay, 4:54 is the Brown Perspective on Sports Time. Let's go to the National Football League. As you know, and I know that you know this, every National Football League season, I have a hot contest going on with my son Scott, his son Kyle, which makes him my grandson, and our good friends Kenny and Bill. And this year, Kenny has jumped out to a big lead after the first week, and he's now 41-22 on the season. Yours truly, the defending champion. I'm 40-23. And then there's a big drop-off. Bill is 37-26. Kyle's 36-27. And Scott's been having problems. 35-28 on the season. Now, going into week 5, I got off to a good start. I guess everybody else did, too, except for Bill. We all had the Patriots over the Bucks, and the defense improved immeasurably. Now, was it the defense that improved immeasurably, or is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense not as good as it should be? That is to be a tale to be told. I gotta vent again. I don't know. Maybe it's the way the Patriots do it. I don't know why anybody with a lead coming into the last minute or two of the ball game will utilize a prevent defense. Prevent defense doesn't prevent anything. It gives them all of the other team all of that underneath stuff that they can get down into field goal range or score a touchdown. And that what happened in the Patriots game, and I'm saying to myself, after Tampa Bay scored their touchdown, that an onside kick that they might recover would put us in the hole. But anyway, it didn't happen, and so therefore, even the pass into the end zone with no time left on the clock failed. And so, therefore, we came out with a victory. 3-2 on the season right now. We have to wait and see if we can continue this upswing. Okay, in other games today, I got the Bengals over the Bills. And the Bengals ended up doing whatever they normally do. They play well enough during part of the season to look decent. But they're still the Bungles in my book. I'm picking an upset. And I don't know why you would call this an upset. The Browns are playing the Jets. I got the Browns over the Jets. I just can't trust picking the Jets 2 weeks in a row and winning. And the Browns have been decent thus far this year. I got the Panthers over the Lions. The Lion is roaring. At least he did last week. Let's see what he can do against these real Lions. I got the Colts over the 49ers. Jacoby. I got the Dolphins over the Titans. Whedon, really? But they still have a Civil War mentality down there anyway. But how about this for an irony? I got the Giants over the Chargers. I guess Manning's Super Bowl wins was based upon their D and a whole lot of luck, because it isn't looking very good right now. Excuse me. I got the Eagles over the Cardinals. Can I say up and coming? Yeah, I can say up and coming. I got the Steelers over the Jags. If they can stop fighting among themselves. That guy named Brown. If he played as hard against the other teams as he played against his own players and coach, they might do a lot better. Hey! So you were open and the quarterback didn't see you. Not that he doesn't want to see you. Come on. Get with it. I got the Seahawks over the Rams. The O is improving to match their D. So if the Seahawks can get some more offense, I think there can still be the cream of the crop out there out west. I got the Ravens over the Raiders. The car is in the repair shop again. And CK back to the West Coast again? Possibly. Although they said that Kyle was on the field, but not practicing with the team this week. You got a bad back and you're on the field? What's wrong with you? The Packers over the Cowboys. The boys' D is attempting to mimic the Patriots' D. But I believe that the Pats right their ship first. So I got the Packers over the Cowboys. I got the Texans over the Chiefs. It's elementary, Watson. How do you spell rookie of the year? But Smith is having an end of the contract year thus far as well. But I think the Chiefs will meet their match primarily because of Deshaun Watson and the fact that the Texans' defense is right up there, especially up front. I got the Bears over the Vikings, but don't ask me why.